You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Les Hang Out, the podcast where historians will call them close friends, besties, roommates, colleagues, anything but lovers. History hates lovers.
Beautiful intro.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I was trying to think of something that was on brand and that felt on brand for what we're going to talk about.
Absolutely.
From the West Coast, I'm Lee Holmes Foster.
From the East Coast, I'm Ellie Brigida. To those of you who have been with us through this whole journey, thank you as always for listening. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're excited to have you here. Here's what's happening this week.
This Week in the Lesdom.
This Week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. We always like to remind you that we have a Patreon and we love our Patreon supporters. You can join at bit.ly/lespatreon if you want to get access to all of our bonus episodes. Our bonus episodes catalog is continuing to grow. Our last episode was on Nimona. We got some really great feedback on that one. And our next one will be on Miseducation of Cameron Post.
Lots of good stuff. We also want to remind everyone we are getting so, so close to our Croatia trip. It is coming up in just a few weeks, basically, at this point.
Which is insane. We've been talking about it for so long. I can't believe I'm actually going to be in Croatia in a few weeks.
It's crazy.
Wild.
Some of you also may have seen that we are starting to plan our next trip as well. We want to do another one, maybe do something like on this hemisphere, to
keep it a little closer for our U.S. listeners, see if we can make it a little easier for people to get there, a little more accessible. So keep an eye out for that one.
And keep an eye on our social medias because we've been posting either polls or links to our Trova Trip survey, which you can always get your answers in. Let us know where you want to go as we plan more trips. We are super, super psyched about that.
And keep an eye on our socials to see all of our fun Croatia activities we'll be posting on our stories. I'm sorry for all the FOMO that you're gonna have, but
lots of
we wish
stuff
you were there
up.
Too
in the greater Les universe. First, we want to also just give a quick shout out. There are still SAG and WGA strikes going on. It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. So as you go through the season with us, as obviously you'll see some changes to our episode topics and stuff like that. We just want to remind you, obviously, pay your actors and pay your writers to the studios. It's ridiculous. So, yeah, there's that.
In better queer representation news, Harley and Ivy. So Harley and Ivy from the Harley Quinn animated series are currently the longest running queer couple on TV. For 4 seasons, they have been running. So they are not canceled yet. Don't cancel them, you motherfuckers. Do not cancel them. Let them keep running. But it's still, I'm happy. I'm happy we got some Harley Ivy ships going on.
They're on HBO, right? And yes. I feel like with their whole HBO, I do not have a ton of faith in these days.
I know, but fingers crossed. They've been up for 4 seasons. They're still kicking. So let's keep it that way.
Okay. I'll try to have hope.
Yes. Try to have hope. With that, that's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee. We are so excited to bring you our second episode of Season 7, Straightforward.
And we are very excited to be joined by 2 special guests today that I personally went to college with, which is very exciting. Billy Averly and Chris Sable are here. Hi, Billy and Chris.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
So good to see you.
I know.
This is
going to
be so fun.
See you too.
It's been too long.
It really has.
Far too long. And for those of
yeah, it's been so long for me too. Oh my gosh. Wow. Like ages. I'm in it. I'm with this. I'm a part of this.
I feel like this is the perfect venue to like catch up in. Like,
yeah, why not?
It really is. I'm just gonna be an hour being like, so what have you been up to? Yeah. It's just gay shit. And so it's perfect. This is it. Gay
Here are
musical
the things-
shit. That's what I want to hear about.
Dreams come true.
The things you need when catching up with old friends. 1, wine. Billy, you're ready. 2, microphones. We're all prepared. We're all ready.
Yes. And for those of you who are listening, I want to let you know who Billy and Chris are and why we have them on the show, because they're both wildly talented. They are the writers and producers of Straightforward, which is a new musical based on a true story that captured attention across social media. Now, Billy and Chris, will you tell us about that article? Because I feel like the article is what a great story to write a musical about. I'm super pumped about it. And very gay.
Billy thought so too, yeah.
Yeah, so I usually let Chris take the reins on telling kind of like the story of how it all came about. So Chris, why don't you start and I'll pop in at points.
Yeah, so I think a lot of us like read this article when it came out, and this is going back like 10 years now, and we had just seen Fun Home, which was on Broadway at the time, and we were like looking for something to collaborate on and write together. We were just like at a bar like after viewing Fun Home, and like I to this day, like Fun Home is like still one of my favorite musicals ever, but we were chatting about how we had both separately read this article, but we hadn't really talked about it. And Billy was like, you know, this article would actually really, it would make a great musical. And I was like, yeah, it would. But, you know, like it's based off of real people. So like we can't just do it. You know, we have to get them involved and they're not going to want to do it. And Billy was like, I'm going to email them and I'm going to tell them that we are musical theater writers and that we want to write a musical about their lives. And I said, you know what? You go ahead and do that. And if they respond and they give us permission, I'll do it with you. And he was like, okay. So he emails my guy, Melly, and he responds and says they're interested in meeting. And we drove up to Boston like that summer and we sat with him and his now husband, Garrett, for probably what, like 4 hours, like over 2 separate days in Boston. And they kind of just like, we recorded it audio and they sort of just like bared their souls to us. And we took what they said and we turned it into this musical. So that's sort of how we arrived here.
I love 2 things specifically right now about that story. One is that I feel like Ellie and I joke all the time that we're like, there's nothing more millennial than what we did, which is to be like, oh my God, we should start a podcast one day. But also I feel like the gayer version of that is also what we've done,
which is to write a musical.
Yeah, it's like very, it feels very on brand and I love that. Yeah. The other thing is I love that I can already tell that Billy's the Ellie in this duo and that makes me happy as well. I'm just going to do this crazy thing. And then Chris, you're just like, yeah, okay. I'll go along with that if that happens. Yeah, why not?
We had a 2-hour call before this when we were testing our microphones out for this. And he was like, we're going to be doing this, and this. Like, these are the next steps, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I don't think we can do that. Like, how are we going to do that? Like, but that's sort of what I said when he was like, we're going to bring this to Theater Row and we're going to bring it off Broadway and it's going to do fine and it's going to be great. And I was like, I don't know how we're going to do this all. And like, yeah, here we are.
So. You're the me. Yeah. You're the me. Yeah. And I love it.
I think everyone this needs makes me this, happy. Though. Everyone needs this juxtaposition yes. of like someone who's like, this is the crazy thing we're going to do. And someone who's like, okay, well, how?
Right.
Let's be real exactly about how it. Is. Yeah.
And then you figure out the how and it's fine. Can we go back a little bit? Can you explain what is in the article for anyone who might not have read the article? Like what happened to these two people?
Spark Notes.
Right?
Spark Notes.
Yeah. So basically, the story revolves around these two people, which is actually one of the songs in our show. Mike Iamelli actually wrote the article, and basically the entire thing encompasses basically like 6 months of their lives when they're in college and just post after college, when one of the main characters, Mike, is just dealing with a lot of stress at work. He climbed the corporate ladder very quickly, owned his own business, but like right after he graduated college, and just through dealing with that, he started like drinking and doing drugs and just like all this other stuff. And he basically just like his body was giving up on him. He got diagnosed with severe pancreatitis. He was basically dying. You know, he went to all these different doctor's appointments, and he was roommates with this guy, Garrett, at the time. So in a nutshell, Garrett was in pharmacy school at the time. So he kind of like had all of this like doctor knowledge and everything. So while they were living together, he was taking care of him. And through turn of events and everything, they just developed this relationship between one another that they can't really identify, because up until this point in the timeline that our show takes place, they both identify as straight men, and they're both dating girls. The one, Garrett, has a long-term girlfriend, and they just decide to see where it can go. Like they both acknowledge the feelings that they both have for one of another. And that's what our show is about. It's about that 6 months of time where they're just kind of like exploring these feelings and seeing what could come of it in the end. And I won't give away any spoilers in the end, but that's pretty much the span of time.
I mean, anyone who remembers the article, though, like, it's not.
Yeah.
Is it a no. spoiler if it happened in 2014
or whatever? Yeah. I think the whole point of it, though, is, like, not the fact that they ended up together, but the musical encompasses, like, the very messy part mm-hmm. of, like, what they had to go through to get there. Like, it's not necessarily, like, the ending, but, like, what the external and internal pressures were for them to get to the point that they are today.
Exactly,
and I think that's like the meat of the story.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Which is also very funny to say as a lesbian, because when you read the article, right? And because I do actually remember when the article came out, like I remember reading it a long time ago, but it's funny when you read it, and I mean, I know it wasn't at the time, but it's presented very straightforwardly. But where he's, you know, he's just like, oh, I just decided, like, I had to tell him how I felt. Yeah. So I stood up and was like, I think I'm in love with exactly, you. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Have you not met lesbians? Like, I literally had a conversation yesterday with a friend about the time she accidentally dated a girl for 3 months and didn't know about it. You know, like,
and that's the thing. Like, it's just, you know, when we actually interviewed them, you know, it became very clear that it wasn't so straightforward like that, you know? Like,
oh, I'm sure it was not.
It was this gigantic span of time where it was just like, you know, they talk about emailing each other back and forth because it's more comfortable to get their thoughts out. They talk about, you know, like Garrett, like cleaning up his blood in the bathroom because he was like throwing up blood at the time from this disease that he has. You know, it's so much more than what the article puts forward. But, you know, it was enough to capture Chris and I's attention. And just a quick story on that. So when we were like finding all the roles for this current production that we're running, so we got this one submission from this girl who remembered reading the article when it first came out and identified as straight as at the time. But once she read that article, she actually like went through that herself and like confessed her love for like her best friend. And then now they're dating.
Stop
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I so love
it's just
it.
Like, it touched so many people, you know, like it's just, it's so relatable, and you know, it really affected a lot of people at the time and still does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing too, like about why we were like, let's talk about this on the podcast, because it's like, yes, this musical is awesome and like everyone should go see it. But I also feel like there's like such a relatable.
So yes,
this is the most like relatable queer experience.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
At some point
we all were quote unquote straight.
Yep.
At some, like, it's like you sort of, that's like the benchmark to which we are held up to. And then you have to have this experience of like working through these feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fact that like both of these people came into this experience being straight, right? I feel like we've explored like, I'm a queer person who like falls in love with a straight girl and you're like, oh shit, she's straight and now I have to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
But to have like both of them be dealing with that at the same time also like gives it a different dynamic, I feel right. like also.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%. Of not just yep. like one person's pining for the other of like, okay, we're both feeling this, right?
Right.
Right.
Okay. But this is what I'm going to say, like, because you just said it's a very relatable gay story. And my question is it relatable or does it feel relatable because it is the basis for like 90% of every fan fiction out there, right? Where it's just like every non-canon fan fiction that starts out as like, you might think I'm straight if you've watched the show, but maybe I'm not. And maybe they're not either. I don't know. I think it's relatable in that way. Right?
I think we've tried to walk the fine line of that because we are aware of those types of, I don't know if you want to call that like tropes, maybe.
Yeah.
I think,
but it can't be a trope if it's real life. Like it right. actually happened. And, like,
that's the
right?
thing is like, so we've been getting feedback obviously from this past week and like most of it has been extremely positive. We did get a couple, that were not, like, they weren't scathing, but they weren't 100% positive either. And a lot of it was like, I don't want to put words in people's mouths, right? But like, it came across as like, gay people don't act this way. And so like, my response to that is, well, how are gay people supposed to act then? Like, you know, you have these two guys who we've taken their, you know, their likeness and their experience and we've put it on stage and it's their experience and it's their coming to terms with who they are. How is that not acceptable to other people? You know what I mean? And so that's one of the challenges that I think that we've run into. And I'm not, it's not a mountain. It's like, you know, but it's, it's something that we've been questioned about, but I think that it's important to have that discussion. Like it's not, you know, just because like, you know, for example, there's, you know, like towards the beginning of the musical, like you're seeing their friendship. So you're seeing a lot of this, like bro-y out stuff. Right. And so a lot of people, you know, like there may be some people that watch that and go, why are they acting like this? And it's like, well, because this is what it was. And so like, we want to be able to portray that, you know, like they were not coming to terms with who they are. And now they have, but like we want to see that journey from start to finish, you know?
Right. And you know, rolling off of that as well, it's so good that even people say stuff like that because it sparks these conversations that we get to have, you know? And it's just like, well, why were you really feeling that way? Like, why do you think that these actors have to portray these characters a certain way on stage? And we like get to talk about it. And that's exactly why we set out to write a musical, you know, because art always like challenges things. And just the fact that there's people that have different views about like what is happening on stage is like, that's gold to us. You know, we're like, let's talk about it. Let's, you know, like bring it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they should be discussing it, right? If they're not discussing it, then like, what's the point of it?
Right. Exactly.
Right? Like literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious. Like, I mean, I knew both of you in college, but like, I don't know, honestly. Like, I mean, I think all of us came out at college at some point.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. Did you, Chris?
I came out probably in my, like, at right after college. Like, I wasn't out in college.
Oh, yeah,
that's
right. I always forget that.
Yeah.
I think I was sophomore year or junior year. I think it was sophomore year.
Yeah, because it was my it was my junior year as well. So, like, I mean, all of us also knew each other in a stage of life where we were not out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Right.
Where which we is weren't like, who we are now.
Which is sort of.
And me too. I'm just going to keep inserting Lee, myself. Never...
I was going to ask Lee. I was coming yeah, to next. Lee
is it's fine. No one cares. No.
I'm just waiting no. for the next person to come through the door on Ellie's side.
I know. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'm like, everyone
I can't
is
wait
listening.
To see who it is.
I'm on my family vacation and like three of my family members have already come through the door. I literally.
Listen,
I told you,
in 10 minutes,
studio.
My kids will run through this door. Or it'll be fine. It'll be great.
But I mean, I guess like my question to you is like, just because I find that fascinating that like we did know each other in those times of our lives.
And yeah, what was straight Ellie like?
Well, no, you don't have to say that. But but I don't know. It's like it's bringing me back like to that part of my life. Right. Mm-hmm. And like it is messy. Like it is yeah. like. You're not quite yourself. And like,
no,
that's also okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like to be like, oh, Lee and I talk about this a lot. Like coming out stories, like we definitely have had so many of them. So it's like, okay, sometimes you're like, there's plenty of other things to the gay experience besides just coming out. Right. However, like it is an experience that
totally.
We all
yeah.
have.
A yeah. ubiquitous yes. part of the gay experience, yeah.
Like, there's zero people who are now gay who never had to come out,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, yeah, like, we tell those stories because they're all also different and nuanced.
Right.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I guess, like, I'm like, I don't know what my question is there, but I'm just, like, thinking about it. Or, like, how was that experience for both of you personally? Like, in you don't have to give any, like, super personal details, but, like, when you're writing this musical, does it, you can, I mean, but did it bring you back to that part of your life?
Oh my God.
I'm going to let Chris 100%. Take this one. Yeah.
Like the music in this show is literally about me. It is about, and like, I think the reason that this article rang so true to just me in general was because like, I felt that. I felt the way that that Mike and Garrick felt. And so I had to go back to that point in my life to write these songs. And they were not points of my life that I really care to go back to. So it was, you know, it was hard work to do that. And I mean, I'm happy I did it because I'm really proud of the work that we've done on the musical. But I mean, the songs, like, you know, I've had friends that sort of like knew me during that time, you know, in college that came to see the show. And they were like, so a lot of those songs that Garrett sings, like, those are about you, aren't they? And I was like, yeah, they are. So like people who know me will know that like that was like it's kind of obvious. But I think that as like musical theater writers, we sort of like we get this shield where we can be like, oh, well, it's not about me. It's about them, mm-hmm. you know? And so, but I think there's like it's a universal story. Like it is Mike and Garrett's story, mm-hmm. but there are people, including myself, like who felt this way.
Right.
You know?
And yeah. going back to that as well. So like Chris during this entire process and he kind of like separated himself from Mike and Garrett's story actually a little bit. Whereas like, I was the one that really like attached to that and pulled that part into it. And it's interesting to see like everything just like come together and how our stories are so similar and everything. But yeah, we both had different experiences writing the show, which is also interesting considering we both did it, you know?
I didn't speak to them. Like not in a bad way. Like I would jump on calls with them and stuff, but like the regular day-to-day like process of emailing them or updating them always went through Billy. If I didn't have to answer an email, I wouldn't. Like, I would say a bulk of the score was written like after we came back. Well, you know, when we came back from Boston, I was like, okay, I got the gist. This is where the beats need to be. This is what the songs are about. And I sort of dug into myself. And I think that made the songs more universal that other people could latch onto them and not so specific necessarily to them. Mm-hmm. Whereas like Billy working on the script had to, you know, be a little bit more involved in their lives. We're great friends now. I still, I talk to them now.
Oh, my like, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't even look at me.
Yeah.
No, they're great. They were both at opening night.
Yeah.
They are so involved in this project. Like, they're not musical theater or even just theater people at all. You know, like, when we started this with them, they were like, just so you know, like,
yeah,
we don't do this, you know? So, like, we're really, like, putting this in your hands. And, you know, that was good and bad for us, you know, like, in different ways. But, like, they were, right now, they're so involved, and they're just... Now I think they would consider themselves musical theater fans because they love the show so much. They were there on opening night. They're going to be there tomorrow for a talk back. They just love being a part of it all. It's really great.
Would you ever get them to sing anything? Awesome. Or it's like, that would be so bad.
I don't think so. But the,
they sing it to each other, like, in private.
Probably. Like, yeah.
I'm sure. Don't
put in the shower. In the shower. There you go.
Anywhere public.
I think the other thing too is that they have been, like, so gracious when, like, maybe we, you know, we, not the story is intact and the story is theirs, but we all know on this call as writers that sometimes you need to embellish for the stage a bit to make things more dramatic and engaging for the audience. And, like, so we were initially concerned and worried about what they would think about some of the minor things that we added. And they were just, like, really good about it. Like, they said that they had, like, a, you know, come to terms moment where they were like, you know what, we just have to let this be what it is and just accept that this is based off of us, but it's also not 100% us. And I think that is such a joy to be able to work with two individuals that not only understand that, but are willing to accept that, because mm-hmm. like, some, if you're working on a real true story, you may run into issues with the subject matter if they're not willing to budge, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, totally.
I'm curious, Chris, because you were talking about like, how much this hit home and, like, digging back in through some of that, writing these songs. And I'm curious too, because you, I mean, as obviously I've known for a long time, but everyone else might not have, you mentioned that you just came out after college. And I'm curious because, like, one of the things about the story that I always think is interesting to me, like, way back when the article first came out too, is, like, some of it I think was a little bit a product of the times, but some of it is still true today. And part of why, something else that I think we'll sort of transition into about, like, why stories like this are so important, is that this wasn't just presented as the story of, like, here's two guys who fell in love, right? Like, here's two gay dudes, they fell in love, because that wasn't at all the presentation of it. The presentation was very much like, here are two straight men. Mm-hmm. Like, here are two established, known straight men, right, who fell in love with each other. And so I feel like a lot of us as queer people will look at that and say, like, okay, so they weren't, like, obviously totally straight, right? I mean, but I think that there is this idea still to this day, and certainly a decade ago, of, like, what are the acceptable ages to realize things about yourself, right? Like, what are the acceptable ages to explore your sexuality, question things? And what are the ages past which you're like, no, you're straight now. Like, you've decided, you got your cards stamped, like, you have checked in to work as a straight person now, and, like, that's your identity, and anything you do now to change it is like, whoa, right? And because I think we still, like, we have guests on now still who will talk about, like, oh yeah, like, I came out later in life, you know? And there's, it's like, it's a very different, like, different idea of that identity. And, like, obviously, right out of college is, you know, I don't think quite at that same line. But I am curious, you know, if that felt like an important part to you, because it is something that I know always stood out to me, like, way back reading the article back in the day, is, like, it's interesting to me that it's not just the story of, like, hey, here's two guys who, like, happened to fall in love and they were roommates. It was always very harped on in the way the articles were presented, whether it's by, you know, their choice or just how the media was at the time, of, yeah, like, they're straight. They were straight men. They had girlfriends. Yep. They had girlfriends and they fell in love, you know? And I'm like, well, that's actually still possible.
Right. Yeah. Like, not only that, but when we talk to Mike and Garrett today, like, Mike always says, and he'll say to this day, like, if for whatever reason they broke up in the future, like, they don't know if they would date another man, you know? And they'll say that if they were on the interview right now, you know,
which also still doesn't make you not queer.
Totally. Yeah,
at
right,
all.
Right,
you know?
Absolutely.
And I think one of the other reasons that they were so willing to talk to us about this was because you just said of the media and how the media sort of spinned this, you know, like NPR was calling them, like, you know, all these different news outlets, and they were spinning the story in a way that just like wasn't accurate to who they were. And they felt that like, okay, well, if these guys are going to come and like sit down with us for like 4 hours, like maybe we have a shot to getting this accurate somehow. Mm-hmm. And they were also sort of intrigued about the idea that's like, okay, well, this is something different. Like everybody else wants to do a news article or a, you know, like a NPR piece on us, but these guys want to write a full-fledged musical. So like, let's see what this one's all about.
And they told us that they hadn't accepted any interviews besides ours just because of the nature of it.
Oh, wow.
Because people were like hounding them for like different reasons and different motivations. And we were just like, we really love your story. Let's adapt it for the stage. And we were just like these fresh little faces out of college, like had never written a musical before. And they were just really interested in it. So
that's amazing.
I was going to say to answer the question that you asked, I do believe that the line of like identifying as straight or not straight, right? Like we are now having this conversation, I think, even more and more now about how, you know, sexuality can be more fluid. And I think the whole, one of the major themes of our musical is that like society and like all of these external pressures are putting these, you know, are sort of putting these pressures on us to say, well, this is how your life is supposed to go. You're supposed to get a wife. You're supposed to have kids. You're supposed to do all this. And like, you don't really even think about it or question the possibility of something else. Right. And so that is like what this story sort of brings to the table. And I think that's important. And I, you know, and not to get, you know, like too, you know, political, but I'll do it. Like when we first started writing this musical, like it felt like we were in a better place. Like in 2015, we're seeing Obergefell get passed. Like there's more acceptance for LGBTQ people. In a sense, like since then, like we're going backwards in a lot of ways. Yeah. You're seeing all of these anti-LGBTQ bills going through in all of these different states, like specifically targeting trans folks. And like, not that our musical deals with trans folks, but like, it should be like, we should allow people to be and experience and love the way that they want to. And I know that that sounds like so corny and cheesy, but like, that's sort of why it's called straightforward, because this relationship and what they want to do should be straightforward, but it's not. Yeah. And it's because of all of these other.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Things that are happening, whether it's a politician trying to get in between into your bedroom, or, you know, like family pressures or whatever the case may be. And so it still remains complicated, mm-hmm. right? And so when we get asked, like, why did you do this? You know, mm-hmm. I think that's what sort of sets ours apart from, you know, like, I love all the like Netflix stuff that's coming out now, like Heartstopper and all these things. I wish I had something like that growing up, right? But sometimes it's not, and you guys would probably agree with me, it's not as, you know, as it doesn't always go that way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, but I think, but exactly like what you were just saying, and especially, you know, I can't remember if we had started rolling, you know, yeah, I think you mentioned Fun Home at the top of the episode. Mm-hmm. Even when you look at something like Fun Home, right? And Fun Home is so very much a story built on the idea that, like, it can be too late, right? Like, mm-hmm. it was too late for her dad. Like, he was never going to get that chance to have the queer life that maybe he would have had if he'd grown up in a different time, right? And you watch Fun Home, and I think Fun Home, like so many other queer stories, and again, like, yeah, nothing against them. I mean, we eat that shit up. We love gay media of all kinds. But like, there are so many queer stories in the media that are based around your coming out in high school, in college, right? Like, I'm having these thoughts. I'm sitting up at night dreaming, and what is going through my mind, mm-hmm. right? And I think it's why, like, when you look at things like this, it does feel very important to have stories about the idea that, hey, actually, you can be a grown-ass adult with a life and a job and a girlfriend.
I've never thought that before.
Have never had that thought cross your mind, and it still mm-hmm. might. And when it does, that's okay, mm-hmm. right?
Right?
Like, whether it turns out that you are actually in love with your roommate or not, mm-hmm. like, entertaining the thought is actually okay and good and healthy, yep. right? Like, that's still a good idea. Mm-hmm. But it is one that I think is, it's interesting because I think of how the media did latch onto that idea of, like, oh my God, these two straight men fell in love. Like, you know, very like tabloid-esque yeah, kind of yeah. way to present right. it. And you're like, because I think that's what makes a lot of straight people feel more comfortable with the fact that they're like, oh, what yeah, is this? Like, right? Me? Like right. Yeah, exactly. They're like, can you imagine? And like, a lot of queer people are like, yeah that's how it, that's how that happens. Like, that's yeah. exactly what happens, whether you're 16 right. or like 50. It doesn't super matter. Yeah. But the idea is like, and that's, you should be okay. You should be okay with yeah. that. It's okay if that happens, right, you right. know? Like,
yeah, I do find it very, like, interesting and also depressing that you say, like, we've moved backwards, because this is our 7th season of the podcast. So we've been making a gay podcast for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And I can agree with you. There were certain years of making this podcast where I was like, we're doing great. This mm-hmm. is super awesome. Yeah. Look at us go. And the past few...
Everything is awesome.
And honestly, the past few years have been really rough. And so it is, I think, a very important time to be telling gay stories.
Mm-hmm.
I think it sort of changed the stakes of why we wrote it. Like, yeah. Because, you know, when we started writing it, it was probably around the same time that you guys started doing this yeah. podcast. Mm-hmm. And we were like, exactly the same. Like, these stories yeah. need to be told. Like, you know, all this stuff. And it's like, now it's like, these stories need to be told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yes.
it's just like a completely yeah. yes. different, yeah. like, you know, and so it's, you know, I think that's, it wasn't necessarily the intention, but it's just, that's sort of like, I guess the interesting thing about theater mm-hmm. is that as you're writing this thing and times change and time goes by and different things happen, you know, it's going to be relatable in different ways to different folks.
That one guy that wrote the review for us that said it was dated or whatever, I was like, first of all, I was like, how dare you? Second of all, I was like, no, it's not. You know, like, just because it happens a few years ago, like Rent isn't as sure it's like dated, like it happens in the 80s, but like people still do Rent, you know, like it's all relevant. Like it all has a story to be told, you know? So I don't know. That just like pissed me off. Dated. Come on.
Speaking of the time it took to get there, I want to ask a totally very self-indulgent question, which is like, tell us a little bit about the process of being like, let's write a musical, to where you're at now, like having it staged, having the run. Like, what was that process like?
Long and tiring, and
sounds right.
I'm gonna be tired for the rest of my life. And no, I always like to start with so the reason that we actually came to this story as well was because, like, coming out of college, like, we knew, Chris and I, we knew that we wanted to write a musical, and we knew that we wanted to write something, you know, but we had no idea where to start. And at the time, we actually reached out for advice to Pasek and Paul. And this was before, this was just when they had, like, Dogfight out, like, Dear Evan Hansen wasn't a thing, Greatest Showman wasn't a thing, they didn't blow up. And they wrote us back, like, paragraphs of just like advice on writing a musical, especially for the first time. And one of the pieces of advice was find a story that like already exists that you could like latch onto, that you can like get details about, that you don't have to create something from scratch and then turn that into a musical, at least for the first one. So that's where we kind of like set our eyes on, like finding a story that already existed that we could like talk to people about, that like we could get information and like build our story from there. And that's how we found the article, you know, that's how we found it on Facebook. And we said, hey, this would make a great musical. But then as far as everything from there, I don't know. It's a gigantic blur.
Yeah.
Well, I would say the bulk of, you know, like obviously the interviews were super, super helpful. Mm-hmm. And we wrote probably a handful of songs and then did a little bit of a markup on a script. And like the original idea was going to, it was going to be like a 6 to 8 person musical. There were going to be other moving parts mm-hmm. like in this.
That are actual and characters then, in the story.
The mm-hmm. Right. And then we were like, maybe this just needs to be a 2-person show, because then we can really sort of dive into like what is happening to the two of them without seeing the external stuff that's happening. But it could be a part of the story and we can feel it as the audience, but in a way that isn't taking away from their story. Mm-hmm. That was probably the smartest decision we made on doing this, because everybody always asks like, how did you produce this? And like, you know, it's, as you know, like it's very expensive to produce, to produce theater. And, you know, a 2-person musical, like when you're looking at, you know, dollars and cents is a lot easier. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say it wasn't hard. It was extremely hard, but,
it's not lame,
you know, it's not lame. Right. But I don't know. I kind of prefer it this way. Because I really do think that we have narrowed it down to like what these guys really went through. And like someone who saw the show said that they felt like they were watching something that they shouldn't be watching, mm-hmm. like because it was like the most intimate, like private moments of their exactly, lives. So yeah. They almost felt like it was wrong yeah. to be watching it, which I thought was great. Yeah. But I would also say like a bulk of it was written, I think, like in 2020. Like that's really mm-hmm. Billy and I started having like weekly, daily Zooms where we
when
were
COVID
just
hit,
like
when
really
we just like had when COVID time. Hit, yeah. yeah.
And then we worked like the first thing, we workshopped it at Wagner with SRMT, actually.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
The current people that run it, they're I guess, well, that was 2 years ago, so they don't run it anymore. But when they were there, they were great to work with. So we did a reading in like November of 21. Mm-hmm. We refined it again after that, after we got feedback, and then we brought it to the New York Theater Festival in the summer of 22. And then we refined it again. And then now this is the version that we're presenting off Broadway. Mm-hmm. So I guess that was the long answer to your question of like, it takes a really long time, like,
yeah,
to
yeah.
write a musical. Yeah. Yep. It's just, and I'm sure it's, I mean, we've already had meetings. It's going to change again.
Yep.
So,
yep.
What are some of the biggest things you've changed
from the
beginning? Like, let's say like from the first iteration to now,
ooh,
like from before you did it at Wagner?
Well, we really expanded it for the most part. I think when we did it at Wagner, it was only like 9 songs, and now it's like 20. So it at least doubled since Wagner. New York Theater Festival, we added about 15 minutes to the show, which is funny because now our goal for this time around is actually, yeah, yeah. Yeah. We were expecting it to run like an hour 40 and it's running 2 hours with no intermission. So we're kind of just like, we're going to see if we can squeeze it in a little bit, which we can. But and just like, you know, like refining the storyline just so it's more clear, like as clear as possible. You know, and that's the biggest thing. Like after every single one of these iterations at Wagner, at the New York Theater Festival, at this, we just ask people for feedback. You know, it's just like we just ask them questions. What did you think of this? Was this clear? What part didn't you like? And just constructive criticism. And we just take that and we look at it all and be like, all right, well, this came up 10 times. We should probably look at that. And then some other ones that like one person said, we're like, well, everyone else gets it. We're going to leave that one alone. You know, so it's just really just a balance.
Yeah. I feel like the feedback is tough. Like, especially when it's like for me and Lee, it's like, we also run a musical and we're like, this is our baby. And then someone says something and you're like, no, that's the best part of the show. We're not cutting it. Like no way in hell.
Right.
But
right.
I think that's the hardest thing is cuts, because yes. you're just right. like, yeah. but I love that dialogue or like yeah. that song hits so hard. Like, how am I going to make it shorter or, right. you know, anything like that. You're just like,
I was going to ask the both of you about that, because I think that's honestly like the hardest part for me throughout this whole process. And like, just to say this before I say it, is that I am super proud of this production that we have done at Theater Row. Like, we couldn't have asked for a better team, like from our actors to musicians to tech people to stage management people. Like, they have been absolutely incredible. It's been like
a dream.
One of the best, yeah, like, creative joys of my life. Mm-hmm. But I also, there's this sense of like, every time we get up on stage to do it, it's like, oh my God, like, there's 100 new people in this room that are watching it and are going to, you know, get what they want out of it, or pick it apart in different ways. And like, I think I'm still like not over that yet. Like, I haven't found a way to like be numb to that, mm-hmm, because mm-hmm, it is your baby, like you said, mm-hmm, you know. So I'd be interested like how you guys feel about that. You know, when you present like this thing that you've been working on forever to people, and then they, you know, they give you the feedback.
Well, listen, I can answer that super easily because Ellie knows the answer to this. So we, one of the things that's nice about when we did The Flames, like, you put it out as a podcast, right? So we had, when we first released, like when the episodes were releasing every week, we did listening parties. We would do like Zoom parties. We'd have people come on and we'd like all listen to it together and do some Q&As and stuff afterwards. But those were all people that we knew were going to love the show, right? Everyone else, like, we're not there. We're not there. We don't get to hear them. And so for me, the worst, best, worst thing ever was when we did the show at 54 Below. We did a show of all the music, mm-hmm, which as the person who wrote all the music, and then I had to have people come up to me in person and like telling me how much they loved the show or which songs they loved or this and that. And I was just like, I need to leave. I can't be here. So my answer is easy. I'm bad at it. I'm really bad at it.
Yeah.
I don't have any advice. I am not good at that part of creation still.
Yeah.
So Ellie's better at it.
Well, no, I think, yeah, Lee's more like, she doesn't like the spotlight in general. So like, can't relate to that. But, we did another, so Lee wasn't there for this, but I went to Western Mass and we did like a short reading of like one scene of The Flame, okay, right? So we did this one scene and it was like people were giving all this feedback and it was only one scene from the whole show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like people were giving feedback that was like, I don't know, like I can't even remember the feedback, but I do remember I was getting really frustrated and I was like, it was like a, you know, it was like they're giving feedback and like the whole point of it was for me to like respond and be like, oh, thank you for your feedback. And I was like good about it, but definitely
Ellie's throwing hands.
Internally, I was like, you just don't get it. You know what I mean? Like I was like, you
have, well, and
like,
that's, well, if you, it's so hard, well, out of context.
Would,
yeah,
if you would have seen the scene before this and whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like,
right,
if
right,
you really like, cause for us, it's like everything is in, but I think after like, I would take some of it and brought it back to the creative team and was like, okay, here's some of the feedback. Like you said, where you're like, here's feedback that like seems constructive, right? Right? This is something that, yeah, that seems like maybe this is something we should take a look at. And other stuff where you're like, sometimes also like, that's not your audience, mm-hmm, right? So it's like,
totally,
right? Like there's two things where it's like, I mean, there are musicals that like are beloved by everyone and someone's like, I hate that musical. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just like the name of the game, right?
That's
like
a really, yeah, good point as well. Yeah.
So it's not gonna be for me, everyone. It's like trying to compartmentalize of like, okay, they're just not the right person for this show.
Well,
you know, right, what I mean? More so than like, I'm going to take that feedback
maybe,
to the heart, if that makes sense.
Maybe one other thing I will say as well, because it is something that I know I said a lot during The Flame. I'm saying it now as we're working on our next musical and that I still believe in. It's interesting to me now to go back to The Flame knowing it so much more, I think, than I did at the time, is like one of the hardest things for me when we worked on writing The Flame, when I was writing the music for it, is like, I didn't have a workshop. I didn't have the ability, you know, it's like we had our little team. I would bring songs back and play them for people and our little team of the four of, yeah, us and the other three people would all go, oh my God, great. I love it. And I was like, could someone please give me a note once? Like somebody, no, change something, because even I am not conceited enough to believe that like every single thing I am doing is the best it could be.
like, just by the grace of God, every time I nailed it. I'm like, no, like, there's gotta be something, and no one's telling me what it is. And I think it's why, honestly, like, it's why I think I'm still very insecure about listening to The Flame and the music in it, because I'm like, I know there's feedback out there somewhere that I should be getting and should be having. And it's like, and I know it even more now, because I can even tell just having written another musical mm-hmm. now that I'm like, oh, I've grown as a songwriter, right? Like, I can see it in myself. And so that means I know I could go back and be okay with getting feedback on stuff that I actually kind of would love to have the opportunity to get. So, like, I think it... I'm sure I'm going to be terrible at it when it happens, the same way that we all will be when it's our babies. Yeah. But I also think there's something so really important and powerful about being able to put it in front of other people and taking a step back, putting the wall up and just being like, yes, please actually give some notes and give some criticism and help us make it the best thing that it can be.
Right.
Because
yeah.
it's hard now for me to just be like, nobody ever gave me a note. I changed not a single thing. I fixed nothing. I'm like, it's whatever happened the first time through. And I'm like, that's probably not actually the best idea. So
I think
good on you for already having taken, like, you know.
I think our rule has always been like, if we're getting like multiple people saying the same thing, then we know that we have totally. To address it. Yep. But yes. if like someone, you know, another person said that they wanted to see more LGBTQ representation in our show, and I'm like, I don't know how to help you with that. Like, you know yeah. what I mean? Like, there's this show yeah. is about, it's a queer love story. Like,
yeah.
what does that mean? You know? And so
we always grapple with that as well, because like, obviously when we're holding auditions, we're not asking people's sexual orientations, you know? It's like,
yeah.
you guys,
you actually legally cannot.
Exactly.
So, like, we it's can't, like,
right.
You yeah, can't ask that.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it's just like, regardless, it's just like, you guys were the right fit for these roles, you know? That's the end of the story. It's about the story. It's not, I don't want to say it's not about who's on stage, because obviously we need representation, but like, it's not just about who's on stage. It's about who are the writers, who are the team. Like, probably more than half our team is gay or something, you know? It's just like, there's plenty of representation in our show, you know? It's just some people that just see who's in front of them.
Yes.
But I
no,
think
but
that's
I part love of it. That advice, though, of saying, like, you know, hey, look, if it starts, the numbers are climbing, like, maybe it's a valid right. note, otherwise kind of let totally. It roll off yeah. you, like, that's
it's
I like
the only
that.
Way to survive. Like, yeah. you can't take yeah. everyone's feedback, then your show yeah. will be a jumble.
I was gonna say, this one guy, I stand in the back of the theater at the end of the show, and this one guy came up to me at the end. He was just like, I couldn't hear what his sickness was, so the whole show I was confused. And I was just like, well, you just missed it. Like, it was there. Like,
yeah.
we addressed it. So you just missed it. Sorry.
I feel like, yeah, that's a you problem.
No, could you please say it repeatedly and frequently throughout the show? I think that's the most important part.
And also, like, speaking of our actors, I feel like we were just, like, completely blessed with the actors that we have, because they, honestly, when talking about feedback, like, I trust their feedback more really than anyone, because they're like living with these roles, and they just have been, I think it was a really good rehearsal process, because they would challenge us mm-hmm. on stuff and yep. say, why did you write this way? Mm-hmm. And then I would have to sort of like go back and think about why yeah. I did, you know?
But the
and
first so, time that happened, I was just like,
what do you mean?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
But it was
like, well, I took the pen and I made words on paper.
I relish in that. Like, if an actor says that to me, like, I think I'm like in heaven. I love that. Because I want to be able to have that conversation about, you know, how did we get to this point, and how can we translate it to like your performance, right? And if we're having trouble getting to that point, then is it on us as the writers to go back and change something because we didn't get it right the first time, right? And so that feedback to me is like absolutely critical. And so just I can't say enough about
or maybe
our
we didn't
actors.
Get it right the 10th time and we have to do it again.
Yeah, right, yeah. exactly. Yeah. but yeah, I can't say enough about them. They've been incredible
oh my God,
for
yeah,
this whole process.
Yeah.
So
yep.
before we sign off, you are running the show right now, correct? So what's
correct.
What's happening with the run currently?
So we have 5 more performances, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday matinee night, and Sunday matinee. And then we close and we're working on the next steps.
Yeah.
Exciting. And it's been pretty successful so far, right?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it probably, you could say it was like 95% sold, which is amazing.
Amazing.
Like we That's couldn't awesome. Ask for yeah. anything more, you know?
Yeah. So that is awesome.
Yeah.
So congratulations on that. Yeah,
thank
super
you so
pumped
much.
For you.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to tell our listeners, either like about the show or just any advice you have for them if they are LGBTQ creators, stuff like that?
I honestly do think the advice I could give is like, I don't think that every single writer, whether they identify as LGBTQ or not, like you're going to have your own identity and your own experience when you're coming into, you know, writing whatever it is, a play, a musical, you know, book, whatever. And I think that it's super important to whatever it is that you are writing is that you can personally connect to mm-hmm. it, because then you are able to personally say like, no, I did write it this way because this is why
right.
and X, Y, Z. And so, you know, it's hard to, you know, like as we've been talking about, you know, feedback and all this stuff throughout the episode, is that if you can back up like why you did something and why you wrote it the way that you did because of an experience that you had, then that makes the piece like more truthful in itself, mm-hmm. you know. And it may be hard for an audience member or for somewhere else to accept that truth of something that happened. But I think that's why theater is like such a great art form, because you can tell those like intense and important stories in that way.
As Rosa from Tick, Tick, Boom says, write what you know.
You're the worst. You're literally the worst.
Charlie, get Hal Prince on the line. We've been saying that all week.
Beautiful. All right. Well, that was a wonderful ending to lead us into our Q&A. So we're going to ask you some multiple choice or yes or no questions. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Oh my God, yes. All right. I've never been more ready for anything in my life.
Question number one, the hardest question. Have you ever fallen in love with your best friend? A, yes, or B, no?
Who goes first?
Whoever wants. Chris, you can go first.
That's a deep question. But I would say overall, no. But
no with the question mark. That's a very gay answer.
I'm also gonna say no, but mine's more firm, I think, than Bill's.
Like, how do you define love, really, though? Like,
and how do you define that, best friends? Yeah.
Yeah. Is that really? Okay, great.
Okay, question two. What's your favorite 2-person musical out of A, The Last 5 Years, B, John and Jen, C, I Do, I Do, or D, Straightforward?
Straightforward. But if that wasn't a choice, The Last 5 Years.
No pressure.
I feel like I can't pick our own musical. That would be like the worst.
I'm shameless.
So then I'll balance
you're,
us
you're
out.
You're more than allowed to.
I'm going to say, so I'll say The Last 5 Years then.
You know, we both took a lot of inspiration from Jason Robert Brown, so.
Yeah, the musical is very Jason Robert Brown in a good way. Like the music.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's very good. All right. Question number 3. If you were going to tell a queer story, how would you do it? A, write a book. B, make a movie. C, write a musical. Or D, TV show.
I think we're going to have to go with C.
I would say C.
It's a musical. Also, I will say we put these up for our listeners as well. So they're like a little,
got it.
A little broad.
Okay.
There's also no wrong answers.
Got it.
That's the rule of the queuing games. Okay. Question 4. Do you prefer A, intimate shows, or B, big productions?
Intimate, for sure.
We're talking like theater. Theatrical.
Yeah, theater.
Intimate.
Yeah,
intimate.
What else?
There's nothing.
Listen,
a big flashy musical is always nice, but those intimate scenes where you just leave and you're like, holy shit. Like, I have a lot of experiences like that, and those are way more powerful than like a big flashy musical number. to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Our final question. Question number 5. What is your favorite queer musical? A, Fun Home. B, The Prom. C, Straightforward. Or D, The Flame.
I had to put it in there. Listen.
Equally
yeah.
successful.
Equally matched. Musicals. Very similar. Yes, exactly.
I mean, I just love The Prom. I watch it on Netflix like at least once a week. I just love it so much. And that's pretty flashy.
It is flashy. I love her. Like, I love flashy, intimate yeah. moments in The Prom.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with The Flame.
Oh.
And.
Yes.
But is that the last question?
Yes.
Yes.
I was going to ask you a question.
Okay, great.
Am I allowed to ask you a question? Okay. Do you like Fun Home? Like, do you guys like that musical?
Good question.
Do you want us to answer that? There are things I like about Fun Home, and there are things I really dislike about Fun Home.
The same. Yeah.
Okay. And I will say I have never seen it. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I agree.
I wish I liked the music more. I wish I did.
Chris is like, I
always feel like I'm such a bad gay when I say that. I'm like, someone's going to come take my lesbian card away from me.
We could do a
and it will
podcast.
Be Alison Bechdel, and what am I going to do? Can't fight her. Yeah, you can't argue with
honestly.
Her.
Alison Bechdel is... That's the top.
She's got way more sway than I do. Like, she could take my card and the council won't fight her, you know?
I know. I do feel so bad that I've literally never seen it.
It's one of my favorites, but I just felt when I said it at the beginning of the podcast, there was a lull. So I wanted to know what the lull was about. You know what? I don't know. Maybe
you felt it.
You're like, I said correct. Fun Home to these two lesbians and no one said anything. What's happening?
To these two musical lesbians on the tour. I'm like, that's like such a faux pas. Yeah.
I love the story of Fun Home, and I love the book, like the writing, the lines, dialogue. There's a lot of stuff in it that I do like. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we can continue. We'll continue off air.
Continue off air. All right. I will stop this before the lesbian mafia comes for us. But
I know, God, what is it? We keep getting them on our tail. We're not doing
They're just
well.
Gonna charge through your door, Ellie.
Yeah, exactly. Like everyone else in this house. They're here. I have to go. I have to run.
I don't know how they found me.
They found me.
They know.
I've been hiding in this cabin and they finally found me. But yes, Chris and Billy, thank you so much for hanging out with us. It was so good to see both of you.
I cannot wait
to see where Straightforward goes next.
And thanks for having
us. Thank
you
so
much.
Yeah,
we really appreciate it. It was so much fun. Definitely one of the more energy and fun ones that we've done, which I love. So
that's our vibe. That is us.
Let me hear you say hip, 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 well, yeah.
We love hearing from all of you. We love continuing to build this community. So we just like to shout out some of our favorite things every episode. This week, we'd like to shout out first a user on Instagram, Emery Krog, who commented on our Jolene episode to say they love the episode and love Dolly. And I mean, same.
Don't we all?
Yes.
I'd also like to shout out Orlando Sooner, who's been commenting on our page and also sent me a beautiful birthday message that said, I hope you had an amazing birthday. Belated, that's okay. Have a great year filled with lots of lesbian fun. And I feel like that message manifested my whole year. So thank you, Orlando Sooner.
We also want to shout out what I thought was great on some of our TikToks. Our Grease episode TikToks people seem to like them. I don't disagree.
Because Grease is gay as hell.
Yes. And my favorite is someone commented on one of our Grease TikToks, user Goglore commented, I have already sent this video to several of my friends with the caption, quote, the lesbians have fixed Grease in all caps. So you're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, everyone.
We are the lesbians who fix Grease. That should be our new tagline. Let's hang out. Lesbians who fix Grease.
There we go.
As always, I want to thank our lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster,
Tanya Ferguson,
Alana Rosen,
Lizette Stye,
Adi Benitez,
Fiona W.
and Sophia Phillips.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Leah Henley,
Andrea Doucette,
and Julia Gonzalez. Thank you so much for supporting us. We could not continue to make this show without you and all of our patrons.
Remember, you can find us on all the social medias. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Les Hangout Pod.
You can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
You can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use for podcasts, make sure you subscribe so you'll be the first to know when new episodes drop.
We also have videos going up on our YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch those.
Les Hangout is an independently produced show hosted by us with audio production by me. Our production assistant is Kristen Murison, and Twitter shenanigans and various other shenanigans by Lee Holmes Foster.
If you want to help support our little team, the first way that you can do that is easy. It's free. Leave us a rating and a review on whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. We love reading the reviews, and it helps new people find the show.
If you want to support us on Patreon, we would be forever grateful. Our patrons are what help us pay for this podcast, pay for the independently produced team we were talking about above, which is really just the three of us. So you can join at bit.ly/lespatreon. We also give you access to bonus episodes. There are 12 bonus episodes up right now. So if you can't get enough of your Les Hangout and you're like, I need more, join our Patreon. We've got it there for you.
If you want to get some Les Hangout merch, all of our designs are available in our TeePublic store. You can get them on t-shirts, on tank tops, on sweatshirts, on all sorts of good stuff. You can find it at bit.ly/lesshop.
And remember, we have a queer production company making queer podcast musicals with guaranteed happy endings that you can find everywhere at @dollarbeanprod.
You can also check out our website, dollarbeanproductions.com.
You can listen to all of the episodes of our first show, The Flame, on any podcasting app.
And if you want to help support us in making more musicals, you can join our Patreon at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon. It is so, so helpful. And we are so close to our next show, Journey to the Heart, coming out so soon.
If you want to follow us individually, you can follow me at Ellie Brigida on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.